Deep down, there is only one faith that all human beings have. And that is that deep trust in life. Even our body expresses that trust in life by always taking another breath and another and another. Well, those are the wise words of a dear friend of mine and longtime mentor, Brother David Stendhal Rast. And that is exactly the kind of faith that I think is needed in this world. We're going to talk about that today. But that's the faith that's needed. And that's the kind of faith, or as we said in the title today, not the supernatural kind, but the grounded kind. That's the kind of faith that we're going to talk about. That I think we need so much today. And that is the subject of this week's Poetry, Passion, and Pleasure podcast with your host, Dale Byron. That is me. This is the place where we work with poetry in non-traditional and traditional ways to help us use poetry to enliven, to enhance our lives on a daily basis. So let's jump right into the first poem, which is actually called Faith. And I think this poem gets to some of the points that I want to talk about and delve into today with regard to this kind of faith. It's not a supernatural faith. Doesn't depend on that. It's a different kind of faith. And anyway, the poem goes like this. Consider how the heart beats and beats. Consider how the heart beats and beats, a little engine that could, never saying exactly why or how, and the breath too, coming, going, coming, going, the way our hair grows so mysteriously, and our blood a perfect mixing. This everything delicious dance, connections, self organized magic. These 10,000 things that each body does in each instant, then times 10,000 more things, and then on and on and on. Each all rising together, one a great self. Still, none of this are you required to believe? Still, none of this are you required to believe. For belief is only wishing it so. For belief is only wishing it so. Faith, a surety, as all these untended things just happen. And as the eyes see it, and as we look for some solid, separate self, but it runs and runs away at speeds greater than light, and still even faster yet. The greatest of all faith revealed in a simple sighting, in a simple sighting. Yes, just looking, just feeling, just knowing. Faith as plain and simple as the next breath, and then the next. Faith as plain and simple as the next breath, and then the next. So I have been very interested in this last year in this business of faith. I've thought about this for a long time, again, having known Brother David for many years. And this is actually the quote I started with today, is the little quote that I use at the top of this poem, which I wrote a little bit earlier this year, this poem called Faith, not the supernatural kind, as we're saying today. But remember, Brother David said, he said, deep down, there's only one faith. There's only one faith that all human beings have. And that is that deep trust in life. Even our body expresses that trust in life by always taking another breath See, we imagine maybe that there's only one kind of faith, or sometimes some of us imagine there's only this kind of supernatural faith, and that we just have to have that kind of faith. But that's not the kind of faith I'm talking about. That's not the kind of faith I think that Brother David is revealing in this quote and in so much of his work. You see, if you look at the word belief, believe, belief, that means I hope that it's so. It literally means to that you hope, you leave, you hope that that is so. But this kind of faith is different. This is the kind of faith that when you take in one new breath and another breath, that is the faith that that breath is going to be there. That breath is going to be there. And when we say in the first line, consider how the heart beats and beats, we don't know how that works. I mean, we have medical scientific explanations for the mechanism of that, but you know what, we don't, the why that the heart beats, this little engine that keeps cooking, you know. Again, we know some scientific things about it, but the why and how, we don't know. And it says, so never saying exactly why or how, and the breath too, coming and going. It comes, it goes. And the way our hair grows, but gazillions of different elements that the body has to keep in a perfect balance in our blood and in the, what flows through our veins, all the different elements and trace elements and proteins and all the different things that have to be just so for us to exist, for us to live, and to know that we and our bodies, as mysterious as these trillions of cells, as mysterious as all these helpful bacteria and all these organisms, which are, you know, what we call us, we have no idea. And when we, on a daily, we don't get up and say, I'm going to grow my hair today. I'm going to grow my hair really well. I'm going to make sure that all of the nuanced chemicals and all the different elements that need to be in our blood, I'm going to make sure it's there today. No, we don't do that. We have faith. We have faith all that is done. The note I made for myself, it's become fashionable to bash human beings. And the flaws, have you noticed, of we human beings? How many mistakes have we made? Mistakes. How many times have we missed the target? We can cause so much trouble in this world when we're living a bad story. When we're living a story which is no longer tethered to the real world. And that's what's happened. A story that says we are separate from nature. A story that says we are superior to nature. A story that says some humans ought to be in charge of nature and control nature and also control all the other human beings. But with the right story, and we're trying to tell those stories to each other, with the right story, and the right kind of faith based on things that we can see and feel and experience, not supernatural faith, that, I think, begins to transition us in the ways that we need to go. I said a story that reconnects us to nature, to ourselves, and to each other, a story that accentuates our ability to collaborate and cooperate with each other and the earth. You know, there's just as much evidence, if not more evidence, to say that our superpowers are cooperation and compassion and being able to help one another and cooperate, collaborate, all those words. And the good news is this kind of faith, this deep faith that we talk about in this poem is natural, just as natural to we human beings as taking the next breath and then the next breath after that. So let's keep cooking here. We also have faith. We're talking about faith is our subject today. We have faith that we are needed and that we need to be needed. Let's put it that way. So I have a poem by the great poet Ellen Bass, The World Has Need of You. That's the title. The World Has Need of You has a little quote by the great German poet Rilke. And it just says, everything here seems to need us, which was a wonderful quote by Rilke. So the world has need of you, Ellen Bass. Let's read the poem. Let's hear it. I can hardly imagine it. I can hardly imagine it as I walk to the lighthouse, feeling the ancient prayer of my arms swinging in counterpoint to my feet. Here I am, suspended between the sidewalk and twilight, the sky dimming so fast it seems alive. The sky dimming so fast it seems alive. What if you felt the invisible? What if you felt the invisible tug between you and everything? What if you felt that invisible tug between you and everything? A boy on a bicycle rides by, his white shirt open, flaring behind him like wings. It's a hard time to be human. It's a hard time to be human. We know too much and too little. Does the breeze need us? If you've managed to do one good thing, the ocean doesn't care. But when Newton's apple fell toward the earth, ever so slightly, fell toward the apple as well. But when Newton's apple fell toward the earth, ever so slightly, fell toward the apple as well. So we need to be needed. And I was thinking, we've told this story. Again, I believe the essence of so many of the challenges, and in my own small, tiny way, I want to bring these poems, which are just stories, good stories without the boring parts. I want to bring these poems to help us begin to change this bad story, this nightmarish story that we've been living. Now, it wasn't always so. I mean, I understand that at one time it made sense, some of the things in our current story. And we did that as a response to other fears and concerns. But the idea that we are not part of nature, that we are separate from nature, is not serving us. The idea that we are above nature and superior to nature is not serving us. The idea that one human being ought to be in charge of other human beings is not serving us. The idea that human beings at their essence, at their isness, are mean, little, terrible, selfish beings always out for themselves is not only not serving us, it is not true. It is not true. As we've talked about, it can be true. We do have some small and mean traits. And given enough fear, we can be pushed with enough fear and violence into responding, reacting with that same fear and violence. But deep down, the superpower of we human beings has been our ability to collaborate and cooperate and to be compassionate with one another. We all know that. We have all experienced that. And the poetic tradition shows us that over and over again. Over and over again. I think sometimes just do a little experiment. Ask someone for directions to someplace. Ask someone in a town that you're not familiar with, that you're visiting. People will often just delight in being helpful. This is one of our superpowers. It really is. So I want to end today in this episode talking about faith, but the grounded kind, the kind that is just as close as our next breath. Yeah, that kind of faith, not the supernatural kind. No, not the kind of faith that others say, you ought to believe this or you ought to think this. Remember the word belief. I wish it were so, right? Belief. That's not what we're talking about. Faith is different than that. Faith is different than that. And I'd like to promote an idea today as we close with this last poem called Hope. I would like to propose that there can even be a kind of intelligent, grounded hope, not the kind of hopium where people are, you know, saying to each other things to keep people kind of pacified and not, you know, like we're not going to upset each other. So we'll kind of give this hopium, these things which are not grounded in any kind of reality. And we can no longer afford that, especially with the challenges we face in the ecological world, or specifically with them, and not also the political and social challenges we face. We can't just have a diet of hopium, you know, not doing anything, but just hoping it's all going to work out. That's just as extreme as somebody that's just absolutely says it's all doomed, it's all done, it's all, you know, those are just two extremes, you know, fear and hope. Fear and hope, ultra fear, ultra, you know, hopium, two sides of an equally unskillful coin. So let's talk about a different kind of hope. And maybe this poem will get to that. Just call hope. Warning. Here's how the poem goes. Warning. This poem may contain small traces of a deep, abiding faith in life. Maybe a burning bush, yes. Maybe a burning bush, yes, but not of the supernatural variety, but rather those in real forests doing real work. For me, I prefer an intelligent kind of hope. I prefer an intelligent kind of hope. Consider what the Buddha meant when he said these words, be a lamp unto yourself. Be a lamp unto yourself. Yes, everyone can have their own enlightened knowledge if we know how to look, feel, and see. And speaking of that separate, solid self idea, there's no need to get carried away with that, since no thing can exist without everything, we don't need to have hope. We are hope. Every time we take a good deep breath, every time we see a beautiful vista, a mountaintop, a sunset, a friend's smiling face, a loved one's, we feel their caress. Every time, that is hope. That is grounded faith and grounded hope. So faith and hope can be grounded in the very real world we each experience. Again, nothing supernatural. If you are in the breathing business, then you have faith. If you are in the business of breathing, you have faith. And if you are still moving and breathing under your own skin, then you are a critical portion of this world. You are of this world, and therefore you are hope. You don't need to have hope. You are hope. Let's not let ourselves off the hook by simply claiming that humans are this flawed and terrible creature, and that there's just nothing we can do. We're just, humans are flawed. We do have a flawed and abstract story that says we are mean, selfish, and out to get over on everyone and everything else. Yes, we do have those capacities, as we've already said, but with a different story and a different social contract. We can bring out our compassion, our cooperation, our kindness, and our big-hearted ways. And we've seen that in each other. Research says those have been our past superpowers, as we've said a couple of times. So, and this notion that somehow or another part of this story that is no longer working for us is that, again, this idea that we are separate, solid human beings. No, my analogy, my metaphor for we human beings is we are not separate, solid nouns. That's not what we are. We are part of the great whole. We are verbs. We are vibrating. We are songs. We are songs. So I say there, this poem, by the way, Hope, is also a poem I wrote earlier this year. In thinking about this same thing, what would grounded hope look like? What would intelligent hope look like? What would hope that's not hopium and meant to distract us, but hope that is meant to have us look full on at what's happening and to love and grieve over this world all at the same time, to experience joy and pain all at the same time, to experience all of it all at the same time. Of course, that's what great poetry helps us do as well. And speaking, I say, and speaking of that separate, solid self idea, there's no need to get carried away with that, since no thing can exist without everything. We don't need to have hope. We don't need to have hope. We are hope. Again, a poem I wrote earlier this year called Hope. I want to end with one last little quote by Brother David Stendhal-Rast. He's been featured wonderfully and completely and fully in this episode of the podcast. He said this: the mystic is not a special kind of human being. The mystic is not a special kind of human being, but every human being is a special kind of mystic. Let that sink in. That's a poem in and of itself. Remember, a poem, just words that has us stop and pay attention, words that got lucky. The mystic is not a special kind of human being, said Brother David, but every human being is a special kind of mystic. We all have mystic experiences. And in these peak moments, in these peak experiences, all of us have this experience of being one with all. Those are the moments in which we feel most alive and truly ourselves. And I say selves in this sense, as we've been talking about, in a large, grand, whole way, and in that meaning. The mystic is not a special kind of human being, but every human being is a special kind of mystic. And we can have that faith, and that faith can be grounded in the real. And we can have intelligent hope that is grounded in the real. And it can help us even in the most difficult times as we step in to some of these ecological, political, and social challenges. And to say they're challenges is, is an understatement. Predicaments. Predicaments that ask for our responses, because as some have said, there are no real specific solutions, like one magic thing. It's going to be a whole bunch of wise steps taken one after another after another. And I think we're going to need to have fully grounded faith and fully grounded intelligent hope to take those steps. Okay, that's a wrap. Thank you so much for your listening ear. I really appreciated it. If you haven't subscribe. If you can make a comment, do that. Like the video, do what on Apple or any of the other podcasts. If you're listening through that particular channel, then, do your thing there. And also, I would love it. I'm trying to get the word out to more people who you think would like and love these kinds of poems and this kind of message that come along with these poems. So spread the word. All right. Thank you so much for your listening ear again. And until next time and next poems, please take good care of yourself. And if you can, please take good care of someone else.